Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool. I mean, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff. This is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Martin Bruda.
I'm Sam Tweedle.
And there's a special guest,
Mr. Kevin Briones.
Yay!
Hooray.
Oh my god, I am so happy you were here. I know I've said that like 5 times, but I just want to say that again. This is so great. We had so much fun last time you were on the show. You're like
our favorite guest ever.
You're like our favorite, and it's not like you've been like our only guest. You're just our favorite guest.
Oh.
Until we get like Neil Adams in here or something.
But then
do
he'd
you
still
guys
be
need,
our favorite.
Do you guys need a room or something like that?
No, I'm just
there's
I'm
a
just
little
saying.
Bit of a love fest going on here.
Well, we have a room though. It's the studio.
In fact, actually, I've met and talked to Neil Adams, and I bet you're much more in. Well, like, he might have better stories than you, but.
Way to
I'd imagine he'd have
but when it comes to actually being like someone you want to actually hang around,
yeah.
You're like so much better than Neil Adams. Neil Adams is a bit of an acquired taste as a human being.
I'm glad I was well received.
So oh, you were. Now, we were talking a little bit before, and we thought we'd give a little bit of a recap of what happened last time you were here because apparently you didn't notice it. Dan was traumatized forever. About
forever.
What happened. And I'm going to let Marty and Dan tell the story better. Because I didn't know that it was happening as it happened. But they've been like busting my balls about this ever since. Ever since. This has been a thing. So you guys tell Kevin about what happened.
Well, it was a rainy day in 2016.
Was it rainy?
No, it wasn't rainy.
I don't remember if it was rainy.
Pretty much exactly a year ago, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Cool.
And yeah, so I was sitting where I'm sitting now, operating the board. And now we didn't have the lights on, because I remember that, because as the night went on, it got darker and darker in here. And it got weirder, because I kept getting shoved further and further into the corner by Sam, because we were, quote, sharing a mic, unquote. But Sam was actually sitting with his back to me, and couldn't see me, desperately trying to get onto the microphone. Yeah, and Marty's reenacting now and crushing me.
And so apparently, like, I crushed Dan. Like,
well,
the
you
life
didn't crush me because I kept moving and squeezing until I was, like, just underneath this turntable thing here, hiding.
And if I remember correctly, there wasn't a fan last time either.
And so it was probably very hot.
The only fans in this room were comic fans.
Nice.
And, yeah, it was very hot and very dark by the time we finished. And Marty kept saying, like, hey, Sam, why don't you let Dan talk for a minute? And it never happened.
I don't know. I can be quite oblivious about sometimes. I don't know. My ego. I have a bit of an ego. I don't know if you know that. But
you do?
I do. And sometimes my ego makes me oblivious to other people. So.
Well, he was behind you.
Yes, but I had my back to him. I could have looked straight forward. I don't know. I was ignoring Dan because
yes,
I was so.
You turned your back completely on me.
Dan, I'm so sorry.
I will
maybe
never
you
get
could
over
have made
it.
A sound,
he has not got over it. It was worse. It was more traumatic than the time where I put his Captain Canuck book in his mouth.
Yeah, those were two very traumatic moments.
So let's let Kevin talk a little bit. Kevin, what are you doing? Tell me stuff. Tell stuff what you're up to. I haven't seen you since Niagara Falls.
Since Niagara Falls, what happened since then?
Well, let's. How about we go from a year ago when the audience last caught up with Kevin.
A year ago.
So what were you doing a year ago yesterday?
A year ago yesterday.
July 19th, July 20th, 2016.
It would have been a week past my birthday.
Aces.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I like that it's becoming a birthday tradition for you to come down to the show after your birthday.
Hey, yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, just been doing the whole convention thing and working on... my next book,
mm-hmm.
which I brought here today.
Oh my god. So cool. Now, for people who don't know, because we haven't said this, that Kevin writes and draws a book called Neon Black.
That's right.
Which is very, very cool. Story-wise, it's cool. Art, it's cool. It's cool. It's better than most of the stuff coming out of Marvel these days. So, I don't know.
That's not even the praise, though.
It's high praise. I love it. I think it's a fantastic book. And I've actually, you know, I own the book. Yeah. It's in my spinner rack in my office. Nice. So you go in my office and there it is right on the spinner rack. So,
awesome.
Yeah, if I didn't like it, it would be in a box somewhere.
So I made the rack.
You made the rack.
I made the rack.
Right? There you go.
That's amazing.
Now, I haven't done that thing where people come over and I pull it out and I'm like, look at this book. My friend made it. Yeah, I know this guy.
I know this guy.
I do that, but Paul Dini all the time, you know, but you're not quite there yet, but you know what I mean. But you're on the spinner rack. But anyways, I don't know how people can get Neon Black except from you at conventions. But if you are at a convention with Kevin, you should stop by. Say he's a hell of a guy. You will see in the next hour how great this guy is, and get his book. Yeah. So anyways. Yeah. Tell us about number two. You got number two. Is it done? Is it done?
I come bearing gifts.
Oh my god!
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh my god! How many people have these?
Sweet.
Oh my god! That's so cool.
Oh, that's for Harold.
Oh, Harry.
Oh, that's so great.
There you go.
This is the best. Wow, this is like the
and
first.
And then the radio goes quiet as we all look at the
comic. We all read this. I'm so tell us when can the public get this?
The public can get it right now. The next show, which would be Fan Expo.
Okay,
would be the big one. And up until then, myself and Paul Imhenko, who's the other artist working on the book with me, we'll be doing signings throughout Toronto.
Cool. You have a signing. Marty was telling me that you have a signing this weekend.
Yeah, tomorrow at Gotham Central.
All right, great store.
Up in Mississauga.
Yep.
And they're having their customer appreciation event. It's going to be myself, Paul, and a few other artists.
You know who? Neil Adams going to be there?
It's not Neil Adams. A bunch of the Spent Pencils crew. It's pretty much like the group that kind of like brought me in, almost like into the industry kind of thing.
Cool.
Yeah.
So Gotham Central tomorrow. What time?
From 10 till 6.
10 to, oh my God, that's going to be a long friggin' day.
It's a long day. It's, it's not just for signing. It's, customer appreciation event. So there's going to be
a barbecue.
Barbecue.
Yeah, because me and Marty were there, and they were telling us to come to the barbecue. This is what they're talking about.
So you guys coming by?
No.
Oh. You'll be there in spirit.
We got things going on. I wish I could.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I gotta go to a wedding tomorrow.
Oh, that's awesome. Marty's fun. Open bar?
I don't know. And Marty?
Yeah.
Sam's hoping to meet girls.
I am. I am planning on Peacock in a little bit. It's going to be great. Yeah. It's going to be great. I'm very single right now. I'm on the top of my game.
Okay.
I feel so good about life. I'm the best looking I've ever been. It's going to be awesome.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
And I'm at a wedding where there's going to be people.
Yeah.
Why not? Why not make this a thing?
There's got to be one.
There has to be one. Right? I got a buddy going with me. He's going to be an awesome wingman. It's going to be great.
Perfect.
Right. So.
Let's see. Yeah. The Gotham's Midsummer Sizzler.
I was using the internet to pull up some some details.
Yeah. Great store. You been in that store?
Yeah. Oh,
it's
yeah.
a good store.
Great. And Carlos is just an amazing guy.
Great guy.
Yeah.
Marty has more of a relationship with Carlos than I do.
He's the man. Carlos is just the man. That's all there is to it. If they ever install a high-speed bullet train between Peterborough and Mississauga, done. That's my comic shop.
Yeah. I thought that was your Dodge Charger.
that car's gone.
I know. We didn't really talk about Neon Black that much, though.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about it.
Because what do we got here? This is not just the regular version of the comic, though, right?
Yeah, this right here is the limited 100. So
my God, we got like copies of the limited 100.
Yeah, so actually, like, check out the
final page.
The final page, and you get to see what number out of 100 you got.
What do I got there, dude?
And then we're going to trade. So
19.
Yes! I got 16.
What number do you got, Marty?
I don't know. Don't get too excited. Kevin hasn't told us how much these cost yet.
That's great. Yeah. So tell me, like, in the year that you've put this together, like, coming to number two, like, what's the reaction been about your book? Like, tell us some stories about being on the convention circuit.
It's, it feels like a pretty positive reaction. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's been really well received. I guess best example of that is that, like, you know, I came out with book two, just released it at the Montreal Expo.
Okay.
Or Montreal Comic Con.
Oh, you were in Montreal?
Yeah.
How was it? Did you have a good time?
It was really good. It was really good. So, you know, to give you an idea, I printed out 100 of these, and I've already sold over half of them.
Wow. That's great.
A lot of them were, like, returning customers, returning fans. Mm-hmm. There's a really awesome moment where someone had bought an issue of a book of issue one on like Saturday, came back Sunday and wanted issue two.
Right. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So, I can guarantee you I have not read this, and this will be better than the R.L. Stein Man-Thing book. I can guarantee you.
I heard that was a masterpiece.
Again, you're not really giving him a compliment there. Just don't say it's better than Captain Canuck.
You know how much I love Man-Thing? I love Man-Thing so much.
Yeah.
I just do. And I know I'm going to love this more.
But the R.L. Stein one was...
Marty, what do you think?
We definitely don't want to talk about Sam's Man-Thing.
All right.
So, yeah, I've got those, pretty much. So what I'm doing with each one of my books is I've got a four issue miniseries planned.
Okay.
With each book, I'll be printing off a limited edition 100, and afterwards, I'll be doing a regular run.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah.
Hold on a sec. So you're saying that you printed this out, so you've sold half of the first 100.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, how many issues of the first issue did you do? Like how much of a run? How many copies of that came in?
Well, the first 100 sold, within the first two or three conventions.
Cool.
And then since then, I think I've probably about like 400 issues.
Okay, cool.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just doing the conventions.
And you still, can you get them online?
You can get them online. It's the Neon Black comic.storeenvy.com. And then on the back of the book, I've got the facebook.com/neonblackcomic.
Okay.
Where you can see, you can see all the sneak peeks, the process. And on there, through there, you can actually access the Storeenvy page too.
All right.
Yeah.
If they were going to make your characters into a movie,
mm-hmm.
who would you want to play them?
Who would I want to play them? Let's see. Well, that's a tough one. I mean, I always do like a fantasy cast.
Yeah.
Like the main character, Alice, is, always floats between a bunch of different people.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a guilty pleasure. I'm going to confess on air.
Okay.
I've been watching The 100 on Netflix.
Okay.
And there's one character on there. Which, just kind of like seeing her journey,
mm-hmm.
It'd be awesome if she was that.
That's cool.
That character. Her name escapes me right now.
They'd screw it up and they wouldn't cast that person. They would cast somebody like, I don't know, like a Mexican-American man.
Burt Ward.
They
would cast Burt Ward.
Burt Ward. Yeah, that's who they would cast.
Yeah.
It'd be Burt Ward is Neon Black.
He's like, no.
In fact, Burt Ward's going to be at the Hamilton Comic Con. We could actually approach him about that.
Yeah, we could ask him.
We could, hey, Bert.
Would you like to play our female lead character, Bert?
Be like, I don't know if I can fit in the suit. You know,
if you do, her name will also be Bert. That's her name. Mary Evgeropoulos.
Glad I didn't try that
one. Marty, you try it.
I'm out.
I love trying to watch Marty pronounce big names. Great man.
Yeah. That's great. You know, it's a lot of fun. Yeah, we'll see how, you know, the rest of the summer and all the signings go. And then, you know, I'm going to try and get these into, you know, more comic book shops.
Cool.
Too. So
yeah, definitely.
Can we start bugging you for issue 3 tomorrow?
Too bad Peebro doesn't have a comic book shop that we can get it in.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Well, it depends on who you ask, I suppose.
I'm assuming that that's a Marty's signal for not this again.
Marty's being so quiet. He's like a mute tonight.
We're just sharing mics, so I'm just sitting back listening.
And Sam's kind of in like interview mode.
But it's because I interview people for a living. Like, this is what I do. I've done over like 200 celebrity interviews, and
do you count Kevin twice?
I'm just gonna interview.
Do I qualify for a celebrity interview?
Yeah, there you go.
So like Kevin. I know you said you got a 4-issue miniseries planned. Mm. Like, what's your creative process for that? Like, when you started issue 1, you probably had the ending in mind, but like, does the story change a bit as you go along? Or?
Oh, definitely. Just because, you know, as you're writing a story, especially for like writing book per book.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of like realize like the process, you know, you're learning process as you go as well, right? So as that happens, you kind of think, okay, well, maybe the story's too big. Maybe we got to bring it back a little, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, things change to kind of like fit in between the 24-page format.
Okay.
And yeah.
Now, I'm going to ask, you said it's going to be 4 issues. Do you think you could go 5, 6, 10 issues? Do you think that the story will grow in a way that you can expand it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Good. I mean, you know, really with, you know, with these four issues, it's especially, you know, you'll see it in the second book, you know, it's a lot of world building where we kind of, you know, we see a little bit more that's outside of, you know, in the first book you kind of saw, you know, Alice and, you know, the introduction to like the superhero parents, right, and the introduction to the supervillain parents as well, right? And you know, in book 2 you kind of see what's happening outside of that circle. Okay.
So me, Marty, we just came back from doing our run, our comic run, and so I got a stack of new books in here, and I haven't read any of them.
Yeah.
I can't tell you.
You didn't read any of them in the car on the way here?
Me and Marty were too busy talking about stuff. I did look at the final page of the Archie book, though, to see what the cliffhanger, see if Betty Cooper died or not.
Yeah, because I actually almost picked up Archie last month from you talking about that, but I had like a huge stack of other things in my hand. Yeah. I was like,
Yeah. So anyways, Betty's not dead.
Spoilers.
Spoilers.
Yeah, well.
Chris is yelling at us.
It was already wrecked. Do you want to know what happens though?
Well, I do, but we can talk about it after the show so we don't spoil. Although, is anybody else reading Archie?
I don't know.
That's listening.
Well, I'm sure there are. I talk enough about it. So I don't know if anybody picks up what I talk about.
Who was writing the, was it Mark Waid?
Yeah, it's still Mark Waid. So otherwise I just have a stack. I found this. I didn't even know this existed.
I saw that on your pile.
All right, so it's Disney's Frozen comic. Mm-hmm. Now, I knew there was a Disney's Frozen comic, but I always thought it was an adaptation of the movie.
Yeah.
I've seen the movie. I own the movie. I love the movie.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to read the movie. Mm-hmm. Right, so I never bought it. Well, I saw this, so I sort of picked it up to flip through. It's new stories. These are new stories with the Frozen characters
in the Frozen universe.
It's the Frozen EU.
And it's number 8. It's number 8. I'm like, I've missed 7 stories of adventures.
You've missed 7 Olaf stories. Sam.
7 Olaf stories.
So what's happening in Arendelle?
I don't know. I haven't read it yet. So, anyways, I'm just like, oh my god. So I bought it. Just see what it's about, but like, where am I going to find Frozen 1-7? Like, really?
Did you check like the
CBA did not have Frozen 1-7, Dan?
But did you look in the kids section?
There's a kids section?
There is. It's like the last two rows on the far right.
Oh.
So it might be in there.
It could be. It so, probably yeah, you would can be. So anyways.
I'll there. Take a look at Gotham.
The bane of my existence is Frozen 1 through 7.
Somehow I doubt that you'll have
character
you'll have as much trouble finding that as Chris did with his
Shield number 9.
Shield number 9.
Shield number so. 9.
I'm a sucker for Frozen, and it's a movie I definitely like.
You just need to let it go.
Ooh, nice.
My favorite piece of Frozen merchandise I own is my cats eat off a Frozen mat. So I have a Frozen mat with like Ilsa and Anna and Olaf, and the cats' bowls are on it. So I don't know. I think that's kind of cool. So anyways, I'm excited to read through that and see if it's any good. I'm definitely looking through 1 through 7 and putting it on my pull list.
Nice. Can I point out here just a little bit? Why is Disney Comics made by Joe Books instead of Marvel Comics?
Very interesting. Very
Isn't
interesting.
Weird?
It is weird.
Didn't it's you? Interesting.
Is
that I've never even heard of that publisher.
No, me either.
Joe Books.
Aren't they doing the Harvey's Hits, Joe Books?
Oh, yeah, they are doing that. That is Joe Books.
So that's Dan Parent and the boys launching the Harvey characters?
That's right. That's right. That was pretty good. You know, what's interesting is they did that, and there's a new Casper book being doing by another company. I bought Casper, didn't like it at all, but the Harvey Hits was pretty funky. Like, I did enjoy that a lot. Oh, yeah, I got Batman 66 meet the Legion of the Superheroes. Whoa. I love Legion of Superheroes. We'll see what that's all about. Well, this is something else I picked up. Here, you should talk about this, Marty. Your review on that was great. Last week, we were at Worlds Collide, and I picked up this book, A Winnebago Graveyard, which is a little horror book being put out by Image. I picked up a bunch of stuff from Worlds Collide, but this one really kind of captured me. It kind of had like a dark Twilight Zone-y feel to it. I don't know if you guys have ever seen a film called Carnival of Souls, but this really it reminded me a lot of that. It's a four or five issue miniseries by Image. I really was captivated that. But Worlds Collide, which is a comic store in Oshawa, has really become my place now where if you want to try something out, that is where you go to get an issue of something you've never. They get so many funky, weird, great books in there that are off the, and I've been finding I'm trying out more and more different stuff by seeing a number one on the shelf, like Winnebago Graveyard. I just like that title, Winnebago Graveyard.
Yeah.
It's, I like it.
Winnebagos go to die.
And they do, because where are all the Winnebagos? It was a big thing in the 70s, Winnebagos. Yeah. Now you don't see them. What happened to all the Winnebagos? They're in the graveyard.
Cost too much. For gas, probably.
I guess.
All the Walter Whites ended up blowing them up.
Yeah.
So Dynamite came out with a Betty Page comic, and I did a review for it on First Comics News. And like Sam, I mean, if you don't know who Betty Page is, I don't know what rock you've been living under. But she was a pinup model in the 50s that kind of faded away and disappeared and stopped rather suddenly and abruptly. So everybody's like, you know, oh, what happened to Betty? What happened to Betty? Turns out she found religion, but that's another story. The premise of the comic book is that she is an FBI agent. And all those secret adventures that she had as an FBI agent, you know, sort of behind the scenes and stuff. And this first issue is sort of the introduction to that, you know, how she gets recruited. Now, it's not the whole story. You know, I'm sure it's the first three issues will be before she gets her badge or whatever it is. But, yeah, it was a neat take on the character for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Nice. The only thing I didn't like about the Betty Page book is the art's. It's not horrible, but it's a little off sometimes. Like, it's painted, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the guy tried too hard to create Betty Page's likeness, and it's a little off in a few spots. But generally speaking, it's pretty good.
Well, you also kind of look at the cover. And you kind of expect the inside art to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Terry Dodson cover, so, I mean, it's pretty stellar. And then the artist inside, you know, I don't like to poop on anybody.
Yeah.
Because this is a guy who actually put himself out there. He's got a book published. He's doing better than me. So it's not fair for me to criticize. And, like, some of his panels are just fantastic, right?
Mm.
But, yeah, just some of them are just a little bit off, just a little bit more experience, I think. And this guy would be pretty good, but, like, you know, that one's a bit funkin' grooving. Mm-hmm. That one's great. So I don't know if it's just his process, because it's all digitally colored, or what, but there's just a few panels that are a bit wonky. Now, mind you, if you really, really want to get excited, there are, holy crap, I got to count here, 12, 13, 14, 14 variant covers for this comic book.
Including some X-rated ones.
Yes, there's two X-rated ones that they don't show the entire preview. And so it's like photo covers and blank sketch covers and exclusive covers for this company and that company and covers with no trade dress. And yeah, there's a lot of covers. But, I mean, that's the way it is right now, right?
You guys love variant covers.
Oh, do
now,
you
right?
ever? That's the best.
I don't get too much into it. The only ones I'm doing variants for are to do Die Kitty Die. Mm-hmm. And the new Archie book that starts out next week, Your Pal Archie. There's the regular cover by Dan Parent, and then there's this best for the first five issues. The cover's actually Interconnect, and it's a giant mural of all the different classic Archie characters and the classic style. Nice. So I'm buying those, but otherwise I don't really do the variants. Now Marty does the Captain Canuck variants. Yeah, talk about that.
I'm going to steal the mic again.
Yeah, go for it.
Do I ever do the Captain Canuck variants?
Yeah.
Last week, right? I got all hyper excited about comics, the Captain Canuck variants that I have, and I'm going to show them to Kevin in a sec when Sam's talking. But yesterday, somebody just posted quickly on Twitter or Instagram, can't remember which. Hey, look, Captain Canuck is in the latest comic block, nerd block, you know, a box they hand out, like a subscription box. Mm-hmm. And right away, of course, like, what? What? Another Captain Canuck variant? What? So I got all excited, and we ran to Joe Nerds today. And sure enough, I managed to snag four copies. So this is cover C. And I'm not 100% sure, but it kind of looks, from what I've seen, the only difference between this and cover A is the fact that it says presented by Nerdblock at the bottom. I could be mistaken, but yeah, it looks like the regular John Gallagher cover for number one, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting. So it's for the other nerds out there, the UPC is ends in 231. So this is cover C. And the other thing me and Dan just saw in here that was kind of interesting, this is season 3, issue 1, but they also keep the old numbering from the old system. So this is issue 12 of, you know, so it's kind of like we're going to keep the old numbering going, and we're not going to get rid of the old numbering. These things are still part of the old numbering, but this is season 3, issue 1 of this arc. Okay. So it's kind of neat that they're going to keep both numbering sets.
That means that we only need 3 more Captain Canuck comics to break the classic record for number of issues in a series.
There you go, exactly, because that was, 14 and then the summer special. We're not going to count 15, because that was a special printing thing. But yeah, so 14 of the regular, and we've already had a couple of summer specials and free comic book days from Cap Canuck, so I think that passes. So just issue 14. We just need to get to issue 15.
Yes, and then we'll have a party. We should have a party when that happens. Just for Captain Canuck fans. Yeah, are you a Captain Canuck fan?
No. You're a weasel.
You could read it.
Now, this fellow that did the cover, John Gallagher, my understanding is that this is just somebody that had, like, fan art done up on DeviantArt or something like that.
No way.
And somebody noticed, and, you know, I guess he's a Canadian lad. But this, like, this cover is... What word am I looking here for? You know, novel covers. This guy could do sci-fi novel covers for New York bestsellers. That's the caliber of art this is. It's just a fantastic cover. And he's going to be doing all four issues of this arc. So it just looks fantastic. So we are really excited about that.
You know, Kevin, if you're really lucky later on, I'll tell you about variant covers I'm finding for Andy Williams records.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Marty had to listen to that speech on that rant on the way back to Peterborough. He was tuning out so big time on that. But
well, speaking of Captain Canuck,
number
2.
Oh man,
this one's for Mr. Dan Collins.
So this is the Captain Canuck statue that I believe Marty has one. Have you got it in your possession already? Yeah. But yours didn't come from Montreal.
Yep.
And also yours isn't number one.
What? It's number one?
Number one of 20, signed by Richard Cumley.
Wow.
So
that's impressive. Here.
That is.
Pass that over. Let me put it in my mouth.
He put in a bunch of he put in a bunch of goodies.
Yeah.
Because it was the first one bought.
Because it's the first one bought. Holy cow. Yeah, yeah. There's a stack of stuff in here.
Yeah.
And that's pretty awesome. I mean, I obviously already have all of these, but I will definitely take extras from the collection. They are signed by Richard, which is pretty sweet.
You know, even I think that's cool.
There's like $75 worth of comics just in here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Awesome. I'm so excited. Marty's giving it the eye test.
What do you think? What are you thinking, Marty?
Well, this one has been lovingly touched up by Richard Cumley, and I must say that the eyeballs on yours are fantastic compared to the eyeballs on
Sweet. Mine. Well, that's even better. Of course, number one's got to have good eyeballs.
There you go.
That's great.
But it's pretty cool. It's like a 3D printed model in color. And, I mean, you know, 3D printing, it's a little bit of a newer technology, so it's not like it's, you know... Smithsonian perfect, but it's a very sharp little statue, and I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's ABS, so if you put a little ABS cement on that, you should be able to get glue to the base so it doesn't pop off anymore. I'm going to try that with mine. But yeah, it's cool. It's very cool.
Definite awesome addition to my collection.
I love it. I think that's great.
Especially number one.
Number one.
Number one.
That was awesome. High five.
Yeah.
Boom.
I'll give you a present since you gave me a present.
Oh, nice.
This is Andrew Thomas's variant cover.
Yeah.
And I have to confess that this was... no, I'm not going to give her credit. Should I give my wife credit?
Yeah, give your wife credit.
I'm not going to give
her credit. Yeah, your wife's awesome.
Anyways.
Oh, my God. Do you know how awesome his wife is?
No,
she's like the
I've
coolest. She is so cool. She's great. So, I love her. She makes her spinach salad to die for. And her lasagna... There's a reason that we're big guys. Anyways, Marty, you were saying before I was raving about how great your wife was?
I don't know. She was just calling me just a few seconds ago, so maybe I'm in trouble for not giving her credit. Maybe I have to give her credit.
She's listening right now.
Oh, she might be.
So for my last gift,
This
actually comes from Mr. Shane Amato of Black Hole Hunters.
As Marty takes a phone call.
What are they?
What do we got
it?
Here?
Is it chip truck fries?
I just hope...
I have an idea what it is.
They are truffles.
Sweet.
What?
We've got chocolate.
He's a chocolatier.
Oh, my
God. That's his day job.
Can I eat one of these?
Yeah.
As long as somebody's still talking to keep the radio show rolling, you can eat one.
Oh, my God. These are to die for.
Yeah?
Oh, my God. Have you had one of these?
I haven't yet. I'm going to try one. Can I try one?
Oh, wow.
Yes, you try one. Well, I'll tell everybody how amazing Shane is. Shane made a killer sandwich that I got to try at the Toronto Comic Con.
I love the way that the chocolate juice just melts in your mouth after you bite into it. It's, I know, right?
Now it's been pretty warm in this studio, so I'm just.
But it just makes it all the more better. Yeah. I'm gonna have another one.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh. So thank you, Shane.
That's Thank you, Shane.
That's death incarnate for somebody who's lactose intolerant.
Uh-oh.
I feel another diabetic attack coming on.
Well, there's no excuse for there being no energy now.
No.
We all got chocolate in us. So.
Woo! That's awesome stuff. It's awesome.
Wow.
Oh, that's good.
Kevin, you're the best. Swear to God. That's great. So why aren't you at San Diego this week?
Mouth full of chocolate. Yeah.
Why aren't you at San Diego? Shouldn't you be at San Diego this week?
Why? When I could be here.
Oh, no. That's the best answer ever.
No, San Diego's a little expensive. Yep. You know?
Now, there hasn't been much news coming out of San Diego except fake news.
Fake news.
The only thing the only announcement out of San Diego so far that has excited me is the 12-inch DC superhero girls cheetah doll, which which I'm looking forward to trying to track down. But otherwise, I think all the real heavy stuff. There was this great headline I got tricked into reading today. It was Robert Kirkman says Walking Dead is winding down. And you actually read the headline, and it basically said he knew how Walking Dead was going to end after the prison story.
Yeah.
And he knows how it's going to end. So one day it will end. But he says right in the article that it's not going to be for a while. But the headline to this article is, Walking Dead is winding down. It's like, Kirkman didn't say that. He said he knows how it ends. Just yeah,
that's all he's saying. Is
but it's not going to be like next six issues. Yeah. Like that's what I thought. So I haven't really, maybe I'm just reading the wrong news sites, but I haven't noticed any really exciting news out of San Diego yet. It's almost like they're still sitting on it.
Most I've really seen is that, most like hype pop culture wise I've really heard from is like, you know, D23 and like stuff coming out of that.
Okay.
Right? Just like Disney's kind of their convention or their Disney Expo.
Okay.
Right. So there's, you know, they release like Infinity War footage.
Yeah. Apparently, Chris Evans has a beard.
He has a beard.
That's big news.
No, I guess yesterday Geoff Johns said that the next DC movie that's going into production, as in being started film next year, is going to be Shazam.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but The Rock will not be in it.
That's interesting.
But Dwayne Johnson will.
But Dwayne Johnson will.
No, so they're like,
no,
it's a dramatic
but,
role.
But yeah. John said that, yeah, Dwayne, that he won't be in it. But he's still, but then it,
but he's
they
still
asked,
Black Adam.
But he's still Black Adam. So in what film will he be Black Adam in?
Mm-hmm.
Justice right? League.
Maybe, you know. And I guess the idea, or in some of the articles I've been reading, it's all speculation.
Yeah.
But are they doing a Shazam film and then introducing him somewhere, and then eventually the idea is that we'll, you know, in sequels and crossovers and whatever, that's when they'll first clash. Which means, who is the first? Well, obviously, Dr. Savannah will be the villain in the first Shazam movie. Mm-hmm. Although I personally like it to be Mr. Mind, but that's just too kooky.
See, I thought it would have been cool to see a Shazam movie where, you know how like Black Adam was Shazam.
Yeah.
At first.
That's right, he was.
And then to see how he goes into that transition into Black Adam. And then that's where he becomes the, you know, the antagonist for Justice
League.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, and like,
know?
That's kind of like, I feel like part of Geoff Johns' Justice Society run was sort of like to make Black Adam into more of an in-depth character doing that too. But probably what they'll actually do is have it be Shazam versus Superman.
Yeah.
That's just a joke, but I don't know. Is he? I haven't paid attention.
I don't know. I didn't watch that movie. Marty saw it.
Well, when Shazam fights Superman, he's called Captain Thunder.
Oh.
Do you remember that? Right?
I do remember that, yes.
The Superman issue where they put Sunburst on his chest instead of a lightning bolt and call him Captain Thunder?
Yep.
Really?
I remember that. Yeah. That was a thing. That was a thing. So I think it's been really quiet out of San Diego so far, but I think this weekend maybe there'll be some.
Non-San Diego bit of news that had come out that I had mentioned that I would like to talk about is the, I lost the link that I was looking for here, but the signing of Donny Cates to Marvel. Donny Cates, who writes God Country, Redneck, Baby Teeth.
Wow.
He has signed a contract to write Doctor Strange with Marvel.
Okay.
And I was thinking, like, you know, is it really like every comic writer, is it your dream to write with like Marvel or DC so much that when you've got these super hot properties, you would decide to take the leap?
Well, Kevin, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I don't know if he was listening.
If only we had a writer here to ask.
That's why I thought it was good.
Like, I mean, I would love for a chance to either write or draw for any one of the big ones.
What would be your dream project? If you to write for a Marvel or DC, what character would you want to be on?
Oh, gosh.
You will only pick one.
I can only pick one.
Yeah. Press me. If you say Batman, I'm going to punch you.
There's too much with Batman.
And that's why I'm going to punch you.
I've always found Captain America fun to draw.
Okay.
See, that's a tough one. That's a tough one.
I bet you'd write a better man thing than R.L. Stein.
Probably in X-Men, you know, either X-Men or something in the mutant verse.
Okay.
Yeah. Something in there.
Yeah. Really?
I think you should bring back Thunder Bunny.
Thunder Bunny?
Thunder Bunny?
Or I remember Beta Ray Bill.
Beta Ray Bill, that's cool. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember one time talking to Paul Dini on the phone, and I've only had a few phone conversations with him, but they've always been quite interesting. And he was telling me how basically he had this dream pitch to do a J. Jonah Jameson book. And he actually pitched it to me, like how he would do it. Mm-hmm. And it was so good. It was so good. And if I remember correctly, I don't want to more get into it. I'm not going to get into it because I don't want to give the pitch out there that someone will take the pitch.
Yeah.
Steal Paul Dini's pitch.
Yeah.
But he pitched this amazing J. Jonah Jameson book. And then years later, I was talking to him again. And he told me how basically Marvel Comics had offered, and this was after the New 52. I don't think Paul said it at the time, but he felt a little burnt. He was working for DC and the New 52. He was so kind of not happy with it, and he left DC Comics. Now he's back at DC now.
Yeah.
But things have straightened itself out a bit. And basically Marvel Comics at the time offered him any character, any book he wanted, he could do. And he turned them down. And I asked him on the phone at the time, like, he told me this. And I'm like, why did you turn it down? He's like, you know, I just don't want to work in comics right now. I'm not interested, you know. Yeah. And I just thought, oh, my God, I would have loved. And I said, but J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah.
He like says, he oh, could. That he's like, oh, I told you about that? I'm like, yeah, you know, like no. And it's such a wasted opportunity. I would have loved.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought it was such an interesting character.
And that would have been a good spin if you didn't want to.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't want to comics, talk what his pitch was, but I don't want to say what his pitch was, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it wasn't a superhero book.
Yeah.
Like, it was about a guy making newspapers in New York City where you're surrounded by superheroes.
You know, yeah.
Just the way that his mind works. It wasn't
seeing it from like his.
And it wasn't a comedy book.
Yeah.
It was pretty, you know, it was a pretty interesting take. And, you know, I would have loved to have seen that.
So it would be interesting even to, like, see how he would, like, you know, how J. Jonah Jameson would go through the process of kind of, like, being a spinster almost.
Yeah.
For superheroes, right?
Definitely.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
So, where else would I go to? There was something in the news today, and it's kind of geeky. I want to take a minute to talk about it just briefly, but so I don't know if it's been online too much. I saw it right before I left work. Is that today someone actually from the Geekverse passed away. Deborah Watling, who played Victoria on Doctor Who, died today of age 69 from a very short bout with cancer.
Hmm.
And Deborah Watling's always been one of my favorite Doctor Who girls because she's just so darn cute. And I remember when I was growing up, what was really interesting about Deborah Watling and Victoria was that there was no existing episodes. When I was growing up and first got in Doctor Who, she was one of the only Doctor Who actors where there was no existing episodes with her. Mm-hmm. So nobody had seen one of her episodes since the 60s. You only saw pictures of her in books, and then you could read the Target novelizations where the stories were there. And I just remember she was the prettiest thing. And then in the 90s, they found Tomb of the Cybermen, which she's in. And in 2013, it was Web of Fear and
Enemy of the World,
which she was in. Hmm. So now there are episodes, and it was interesting because for like decades, she was like that mystery Who girl.
Yeah.
That was just like super pretty. Like, she's, all the Who girls are pretty in their own way, except maybe Dodo, but it's true.
Yeah, it's true.
Perhaps Melanie, but that's can be conjectured. Melanie had a great rack, but Dodo, not so much. Dodo, I don't know what was going on with that casting director. He had a weird sense of what it was. But anyway, my point is, Deborah Watling was one of the prettiest girls ever to be on Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. And that's all you saw her. And And it was like, so in recent years, finally the Who fans really, you know, finally got a bit of an idea, a little bit of taste what this character was and this actress. And the thing about Victoria too is, and Dan is a huge Patrick Troughton fan.
Yes.
So you can testify to this. She her character was like one of the classic screamers
yeah.
on the series. Like she screamed, and there was actually, they wrote it in an episode where her screams actually destroy a villain because the vibrations of her scream.
Yeah.
Do you know more about that?
Not specifically, but Fury of the Deep was a story where she screams into a microphone and it's like seaweed or something, that a seaweed monster, and she defeats it with her voice. Yes.
Wow.
But I actually had just saw the news right before coming on air.
Yeah.
And I'm like pretty bummed because I like you, Victoria, Jamie, and Patrick Troughton, that's my doctor combination.
Is
like
it?
those are my companions. Mm. And Tomb of the Cybermen was the first Patrick Troughton story I saw.
Okay.
And so I always associate her with Patrick Troughton since it was the first one I saw.
Instead of Zoe. There are more of Zoe's episodes.
Yeah, here. Almost all of season 6 exists, yeah, but only the 3 episodes from season 5.
Yeah. So a lot of people always thought of Troughton, Jamie, and Zoe because it was the only one. Because
it existed,
saw.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But yeah, and I from what I've read, she was, you know, like a really great person. She did lots of great like Doctor Who stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a sad day for Doctor Who fandom.
It really is. And I was hit too. And I put a beautiful picture of her up on my Facebook page with the Dalek. And there's that famous picture of her screaming with the Ice Warrior behind her.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And that beautiful, and there's a, I remember this beautiful picture. I had it hanging up in my bedroom as a kid. I just thought it would be beautiful. It's her on the mountain from
the Abominable Snowman.
Yeah. It's just the prettiest girl in the world, man. I mean, all of them are prettier in their own way, but to me, growing up, I just thought she was, like, I wouldn't say she, and I would use the word pretty.
Yeah.
Okay, like, there's different adjectives you can use to talk about beautiful,
mm-hmm.
but the one for her is pretty. That's what that would be. So it's a real drag.
And as Marty starts pulling up the salacious photos.
Oh really? You got salacious?
Not super salacious.
That's an older picture, though.
Just pretty.
Older. She's all right.
But yeah.
Yeah. So what are we doing to time there? I promised Kevin I would do. I haven't done a Luann update.
You better get that
Luann
update out of the way.
Yeah. So Kevin, take it away.
Sam talks Luann.
All right. Cool. Cool. All right. So Luann has been. It's been a little quiet for Luann lately, where they've been kind of doing week long stories, you know, with different things. But today they really picked up on a story that's been a kind of a long going arc. So basically what's going on is, as you may know or not, because no one reads this strip except for me, especially in the studio. I always love when I talk about Luann, because that's when like Dan and Marty start looking at their devices, you know? Anyway. I'm sure you can.
And text at the same
so
time.
So one of no this thanks. Ongoing thing is that Luann, now everybody knows Luann is in university studying art. And her roommate, Prue, who is the token lesbian character, is doing theater. So they've been doing this thing since before Christmas, where they've been actually going to organize a summer drama camp for teens. And they've been raising money and they've been doing everything. And it's just been this big thing. And, you know, and there was the whole storyline where Les, who is the bad boy, decided he was in love with Prue and telling people his girlfriend, not knowing that she was actually gay because Les is somehow involved in this. Anyway, today, finally,
today,
after like 9 months of a build-up was yesterday, was the first day of Luann and Prue's drama camp. And they were so excited. They set up the chairs and they got the name tag and they're all ready for all the kids to come in to the drama camp. And guess how many kids showed up?
3.
It was 3, Dan.
Maybe I secretly read Luann.
Yay! So today we got to know 2 of the kids. One of them, I don't remember what their name was, but she's a real keener. But the other kid, his name's Axel. He doesn't want to be there. So, what's going to happen? Are they going to have a great summer camp next week in the drama camp? And will that whole thing between Les and Prue, that whole, you know, him, mm-hmm. will friction start up again because he wants to be in love with her but doesn't know she's a lesbian, although he does know now, but we won't get there. What's going to happen in Luann? I don't know. GoComics.com, read Luann. Kevin, do me out.
Sam talks Luann.
All right.
And we're still not getting paid for you talking about Luann and pushing that? Oh, okay.
But it's so great to have Kevin here to do that because that is awesome. that is makes it worth it. I don't talk Luann every episode now. Sometimes it gets a little slow, but this was a slow month, actually. It's not much to say, but we couldn't do this without you.
I don't know about this Axel
kid. I know. This Axel kid could be trouble. Him and Les might bond.
What's that?
Anyways, I don't know. Have you ever watched a Red Luann?
No, I haven't.
Get on that, dude. Seriously, I'm getting Luann tattooed on me. Not really.
We'll do it live on air.
Yeah, I actually picked my next tattoo. It's actually going to be, I'm getting the Velvet Underarm banana tattooed on me. And I am actually going to get that. I haven't figured out where yet. That's the part which was a good
thing. There's only one place to put a banana tattoo.
Let's keep it PG.
I was actually thinking getting Man Thing tattooed there.
But it wouldn't be a giant size.
Oh, I set myself up for that one.
You did.
It was cold outside.
It was cold outside.
He was in the pool.
So, Marty, you brought something into the studio.
I did. I did-ish. Today, we were at Worlds Collide, and I was looking around at different things, and I saw something really interesting. So I literally put, much to Chris Gilpin's chagrin, three quarters of the comics I had in my hand, I put back on the rack so I could pick this up instead. One of the things I put back was like three copies of, what is it, Kinexit?
Oh, Cal Exit?
Yeah, Cal Exit. So he's.
I also put back a copy of Cal Exit. So if you're looking for Cal Exit,
there's four
World
copies.
Collide, there's at least four there's copies there.
There's four copies, including the white variant cover, and I think it's trading for like $36 on eBay right now. So,
I'm back in the area tomorrow.
There you go.
Where I'm going.
I know Chris would appreciate it if you picked one up for him.
All right.
So what I picked up instead was a hardcover book from IDW with the Thunder Agents, which some people may not remember, back from Tower Comics. Archie didn't have Thunder.
No, they didn't have Thunder Agents
for any period of time. No. I know DC printed a reprint once. And so what this is a whole bunch of Thunder Agent comics with Wally Wood as the artist, who is just an absolute icon in early comic work. So amazing. I'm getting really interested and excited to read this.
Wasn't it Epic Comics? There used to be an Epic Comics. They had like an E logo back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. They did Thunder Comics. Thunder Agents.
No, Epic was Marvel's version of Vertigo for a little while. There was Eclipse.
Eclipse.
And, who's the other one? Eclipse, Epic, and there was another one.
Okay.
But anyways, it's kind of funny too because there is a, you know, me being the big Captain Canuck fan, there is a book, a novelization, and I can't remember whether it's an actual novel or it's just a collection of strips in the novel. And Dynamo, the character, is drawn incorrectly. Normally his costume is blue and white. They incorrectly drew him red and white. Man, does that cover look like Captain Canuck number one.
Wow, really?
Oh, does it look like Captain Canuck number one. Like, wow, does it, like, pose and everything. Now, I know, you know, nobody's got a trademark on hands-on-hip superhero poses. It's a pretty common pose, but wow, does it look a lot like Captain Canuck number one. Not inferring anything, but so
just
I'm...
pointing out the similarity.
Yes, it's interesting. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to reading this. It looks like it's going to be a hoot.
What's the acronym for Thunder?
The Higher United Nations Defense Enforcement Reserves.
Nice.
Thunder Agents.
They really had to stretch hard for that, though,
did
right?
They ever? Yeah.
Like, just call them Thunder without it having to be, you know, something that stands for something.
Yeah,
exactly. Because it's still cool.
Oh, Lady Tied on the Train Tracks. Dynamo versus No Man. Oh, this is going to be just an awesome. This is going to be awesome. I can't wait to read this. Awesome. As I say, as I put it on the big, huge, massive pile of hardcover books that are sitting beside my to-read pile. But I'm actually going to get into this. This is going to be fun.
So we got 5 minutes left in the show. Is that enough time to talk about the new woman Doctor Who?
Sure.
I don't think
five minutes.
Not in 5 minutes.
Yeah, it is. It's easy. There's a new female Doctor Who. Don't like it? Get over it.
Done and done.
Well, it's funny. I will say, and everybody's heard the stories. The moment I heard the news, I went online, And I basically said, as a fan, like, it makes me a little nervous. You know, it's hard to think about the change. But just as we saw with the... What was the actress who played Missy?
Missy?
We're all looking stupid right now.
I know. What was her name?
Huh?
Anyways.
Something Scottish.
Okay. She was more like the master than Roger, than anybody who'd played the character since Roger Delgado. Except for perhaps Anthony Ainslie, who was just doing a really over-the-top Roger Delgado impersonation. She's the first person who really captured the character since those two gentlemen. She's proving that a woman could do that part.
Michelle Gomez.
Thank you. Michelle Gomez proved that a woman...
That's totally Scottish.
It is. Anyway. She basically proved that a woman could do that part and make it believable. Maybe they'll do this with the Doctor as well. You know, I don't know. We're going to have to see. But I put, saying I'm nervous, but we're going to have to see. If she can do it, she's going to do it. And we'll go with it. I'll be fine. Within a minute of me putting this, I got a response back that said, congratulations for being the fifth misogynist on Facebook that can't accept a woman doctor. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What? And I'm thinking right now, this is going to be fun. This is just going to be a fun thing to deal with. The fan outcry has been, oh my God, it's annoying the hell out of me already. But no matter what side you're on, the people who love it are annoying me. The people who hate it are annoying me.
Yeah.
Everybody's annoying me. Except for the people like Marty, who wrote a really... I know we're running out of time. That's why I said we did not have 5 minutes to say this. Marty wrote a brilliant, brilliant...
There is something to be said about Doctor Who having to be a male. All of the companions that he's ever had are basically females. And they're actually the heroines of the story. They're the ones that bring some depth to the story. The Doctor's really a two-dimensional character. There's not a lot to him in most instances.
That could be argued.
Yeah, but you could easily argue that the companions are... integral to the story.
Oh, they
you
are.
Can't have them not.
Definitely.
And almost always, the companions end up changing the Doctor and his outlook more so than the Doctor changes the companions.
Sure.
So when you put...
Depending on the era.
When you put a female Doctor in there, and then we're going to have a male companion, I'm assuming, and if that male companion starts doing the same to the female Doctor, that's mansplaining.
Yeah.
So that dynamic in the story is going to have to be changed. Not saying it's a bad thing that it's being changed. It can be changed, but it's going to have to change that dynamic, right?
What if it's female Doctor and female companion?
Well, that would easily solve the problem.
Yeah. What I would like to see is have her as a woman, but actually have more male characteristics as personality, because the personality shouldn't change that much. Like the elements of the personality should still be there, even though the quirks can change. But to actually have her play it as a male, but as a woman. Maybe not. I don't know.
Anyways, we're almost out of time.
That's why I said we didn't have enough time for this.
We'll talk about it next week. But basically, I think she can do it. She'll be fine.
I think she'll be fine too. But you know what? Don't make it a part of your feminist agenda.
Let's
jingle, right? She's a woman Doctor Who. She's not a nurse. It's a woman Doctor Who.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?